see you fresh to death, man. I'm talking about,
let's just do it.
New J's, old school's for days. I'm talking about new J's, huh? What?
My car burning, my burning. My bitch is bad, you touch her once, she burn ya. So much money, I burn it. 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 My car burning, my burning. My bad, you touch her once, she burn ya. So much money, I burn it. So much money, I burn it. So much money, I burn it. So much money, I burn it.
My truths are sitting on ostrich. Smoking the that's preposterous. You box of hundreds in my closet. On the way to the bank to make a deposit. I get mountains of money cause I deserve it. Do what the fuck I want with it cause I earned it. Roll a $100 bill then I burn it. Put some up in the bag then I serve it. Words is coming out about the way that I be such a professional when I pearl. What I heard about rookies. They don't know what they be doing when they fucking with the huff instead of fucking with the Girl Scout cookie. Get the light it up. If you got some better bitches then invite them up. I burn up the niggas tigers on the car. We run a rubber. Get up out my center tigers up. I know the weed gon' linger. Cause ain't no telling what beat gon' bring ya. You wanna feel it, cover the hole and hit it in the bone. Now release your finger. Get the full effect about the mechanism. When I hit the ism as if I was looking through a prism. Rolling with burner and wisdom. Look at highs, I wanna give him a niggas that be looking through a prism. I don't take it for granted, so I blow. I'ma keep it with me wherever that I go. You ain't gotta tell me, I know that my eyes low. I don't give a fuck, I light up and ride slow. Everything I know burning, my flow's burning. My rings burning, my watch burning. My truck burning, my eyes burning. My green burning.
My car burning.
What's going on, everybody? Welcome to the Span Report Podcast. I'm your host, Mr. Span, and this is episode number 52 of the report, man. And yeah, I'm back after a week. I'm back, man. And yeah, man, it hasn't been a whole, well, I take that back. It has been quite a few things going on, man. You know, Ebola has gripped the country in fear. We're still talking about going to war with ISIS. Raven Simone is saying she's not gay or black. Yeah, it's been quite a few things, man. Quite a few things going on, man. And I'm going to speak to some of those things later on in the show. But before I get started, man, of course, I got to get the business out of the way. Let me tell you guys how you can get in touch with me here at the Span Report Podcast and let your voice be heard. You can hit me up at my hotline at area code 313-288-0485. That's area code 313-288-0485. Hit me up on the hotline. Leave those voicemail messages, especially for the $100 span challenges. You're going to want to have to, you know, have that number on hand so you can be the first person to hit me up with the correct response when I do a $100 span challenge. Also, you can hit me up on the email. The email for the show is thespanpodcast@gmail.com. That's thespanpodcast, all one word, @gmail.com. Hit me up there. I'll read those and, of course, respond to those here on the show. You can also hit me up on Twitter, man. My name on Twitter and Instagram is Mr_Span. So yeah, you can hit me up on Twitter. We can chop it up there. You can also hit me up on Facebook on my Facebook fan page. Go and like the fan page on Facebook. Of course, over there, it's Mr. Span fan page. So if you can search that up, go ahead and like it. Much appreciated. And of course, for everything Span Report related, man, you can go to thespanreport.com. You can check out all of my YouTube videos. Every episode of the podcast is available there. All of the good stuff. All of the good stuff is available at thespanreport.com, man. And not only that, man, I know I neglect to mention this quite often, but iTunes and Stitcher reviews, man. I really do appreciate everyone who's left an iTunes or Stitcher review. It really does help promote the show. It gets the word out about the show. So for everyone who kind of wants to get spread the word about the Span Report, man, that's another way you can do that. Go ahead on iTunes or Stitcher and just leave a review, man, and let folks know what you're thinking about the podcast. And of course, it's always greatly appreciated. Yeah, man, it's been some stuff, man. The last time I talked to you guys, the last time I had the chance to grace the mic, your boy Span was a bit upset. I was angry. I was pissed. I was perturbed. I was heated. I was on 10. I was whatever adjective you can describe for being upset when it came to just the way of the world, man. Like, it was so many different little things that were like just kind of pissing me off. And of course, you know, the world hasn't really changed a whole hell of a lot, and of course I'm upset about some of those things. Like, take for instance, my Lions fucking lost this week. My fantasy football team lost this week. So I'm a little upset about that shit. You know, yeah, man, it's a lot of little shit. You know, it's always going to be some things, man, that'll get you upset if you let it. And I just had a lot of stuff that just kind of boiled over. I said, fuck it, I'm gonna just let it all out on the podcast, man. Just kind of cleanse my soul, so to speak. So yeah, man, got a chance to get all that shit off my chest. And yeah, man, but you know what? I got an update, you guys. I got an update on the iPhone 6, man. Now, of course, the last time I talked to you guys about that iPhone, I wasn't exactly happy about that iPhone, man. I was upset to the umpteenth degree, simply because, you know, T-Mobile really dropped the ball when it came to upgrading that phone, made it really hard in order to do that. But your man Spam was able to get that iPhone 6 for his woman. Yeah, yeah, yep. Clap all you want. Yeah, man, I got that iPhone 6 for, man. And it's funny how that shit worked out, man, because, like, of course, like I told you guys before, we had pre-ordered the iPhone 6. It came, it was the wrong phone. I sent it back because they told me it'd be about 4 or 5 days before they can send out another one. And by the time I sent it back, they tell me it's going to be a 4 to 6 week wait on the phone. So, you know, at first my girl was like talking as if she wasn't really pressed about that iPhone 6, but of course she really wanted that goddamn phone. So, you know, slowly but surely she starts hitting me up about, you know, possibly going ahead and placing an order to go ahead and get the iPhone 6, and she'll wait the 4 to 6 weeks. So, it just so happened that we were in Costco. And, you know, they have the booths in Costco or whatever, where they'll have the multiple carrier booths. You know, they got phones for everybody, T-Mobile, Sprint, Verizon, AT&T, and everything. And so they had the iPhone 6 in the size and in the color that she wanted there at the store for T-Mobile. I'm like, all right, bet. So we done found the phone. We found somebody, you know, we found a place that has the phone. Now, T-Mobile is telling everybody it's a 6 week wait, 4 to 6 week wait. You go into a T-Mobile store, chances are they don't even have like the phones in the store. So this was like a find, you know? So, you know, we go to the, you know, I call him up or whatever. And he's like, yeah, I got 5 in the store. I'm like, could you hold one for me? He's like, well, no, I can't hold one for you. I'm like, all right, fuck, I'm on my way. So I come home from work. I get my girl like, hey, I found a store. They got one. Let's go up there now, try to get this phone. So we get up there and I talk to the guy. He's like, yeah, you the guy I talked to on the phone or whatever. He's like, yeah. And we're going through the whole thing and his computer crashes. Yeah, like, and we was like, fuck it, we'll sit here, we'll wait for your computer to boot back up and everything else. And we sat there, man, you know, for about a good, I don't know, 45 minutes to an hour. And I guess he just felt bad that, you know, we were still sitting there, his computer was still down. And for a minute, I'm not gonna lie, like, he asked to take my name and my number down and he was gonna call me when the system came back up. I honestly was real cynical about the shit. I didn't think he would call. I didn't think he would, you know, follow up like that. But he did. Dude called me the next day, said, all right, man, you know, the phones are here. The system's back up and running. When you're ready, you can come do it. But by this time, I'm at work, you know. So I call my girl. I tell my girl, like, hey, babe, you know, you can go up there right now to go do it and, you know, try to get the phone or whatnot. And she's, you know, kind of hesitant. Because, you know, it's my account, but I put her as an authorized user, you know, I trust her. So yeah, like, go ahead, baby, you already authorized user, go ahead, try to get the phone and whatnot. I'm at work right now, I can't really take care of it. So she goes up there and she's like, well, they're telling me I can't get the phone because they are saying that they don't have the old phone. Like, I had sent the previous iPhone 6, I had already sent that one back. They're saying it's not in the system that they have it. So now I got to call T-Mobile, find out what the hell's going on. I got a tracking number from FedEx and everything, man. They're like, yeah, it's not in the system and everything else. I said, well, look, I'm trying to do this upgrade. Y'all done screwed this upgrade up for me. Y'all got to do something for me. Y'all got to make me whole. I said that the last time y'all talked. Y'all got to make me whole, man. I've been a customer for far too long for this type of shit to be going on. So what she ended up doing, man, because I have this shit, the Jump program, where I can upgrade my phones every 6 months. And I take full advantage of that shit. Like, I've been through about 6 phones myself in the last year or so. And so, you know, the lady on the phone told me she basically just upped it. You know, she upped the limit as to how many phones I can do. And that left it open for me to go ahead and be able to do the upgrade. But of course, now I got to come home, get my girl. We go back up to Costco because, like, she was upset. Like, babe was upset when she left Costco and couldn't get that damn phone. So we leave, we go up to Costco, and the guy, he's doing it or whatever. He's working the computer or whatnot. And yo, we got that motherfucker. We was victorious. We walked out of the fucking store with a 64 gigabyte iPhone 6. And all was right with the motherfucking world, man. Finally, my house was happy. My home was happy. And that was the thing, man. Like, my home was happy. My woman was happy. I was able to do that. I moved mountains. I moved heaven and earth. And that shit happened for her. And it put a smile on her face. And it put a smile on my face. And I had my chest poked out and shit. Like, I was walking through Costco like I was the swolest nigga in there. You know, I'm like, shit, y'all can't tell me a motherfucking thing. God damn it. Shit, so I'm walking through Costco, man. I got my chest poked out and everything. And then on top of that, right after I see that, like right after we get finished doing that, I see that they have these big, huge boxes of the Mott's Medley's fruit snacks, right? Now, I don't know about you, but the Mott's Medley's fruit snacks is the greatest fruit snacks of all times. And I say times because I'm ghetto like that. It was the greatest, and they are the greatest of all times. I can sit up there and just eat those fuckers all day long, not even thinking about it. Them shits are good. So yeah, man, I grabbed two boxes of those, like 80 count boxes or whatever. So I grabbed two boxes of those. My girl got an iPhone 6. We walking out of Costco and you know what? I'm feeling real triumphant. I'm feeling like it's this glow had came over me, and like I felt like I had my own theme music and shit. And yeah, man, I'm walking to my car, and like I'm walking in slow-mo and shit. Like I felt like a goddamn commercial. Like, yeah. Yeah, man. And I still had my chest poked out. Yeah. You know, I'm just like, yeah. I'm like, yeah, baby, we did this shit. We did it. So yeah, I'm the man, yeah. I got the Boyfriend of the Year award that day, you know what I'm saying? Like, it came with some perks and some benefits and shit. None of y'all motherfucking business, but yeah, man, we had fun. Yeah, and babe was happy. I was happy. I had my fruit snacks. She had an iPhone 6, and all was right with the world, man. All was right with the world. So yeah, man, there was a bit of a happy ending with the iPhone 6, man. But honestly, dude, that was a fucking headache. That was a headache and a half, man. I don't want to go through that shit ever again. Hopefully next year they'll have that shit right, and we don't have to go through this again. I don't know what it is. Like, again, I'm still baffled by the attraction for the iPhone in that way. But hey, people want what they want. People are attracted to what they want. So, you know, by all means, pop more power to you and everything else. But yeah, man, it was a goddamn headache just trying to update a phone, man. Like, that's just trying to upgrade my phone, man. That's all I'm trying to do. Yeah, man. But not only that, speaking of that, today is NBA 2K day. It's 2K day. So happy 2K day for all my dudes, all my chicks that be on the NBA 2K shit. It's 2K day. And last night, right? Last night, I'm debating as to which system I'm gonna get my 2K on. And you know what? I fell back into, you know what? I'm a PlayStation guy. I've been a PlayStation guy for the longest. I got more friends on my PlayStation. I'm a rock with my PlayStation 4. Even though like my hard drive on my PlayStation 4 is getting a bit crowded. I might have to upgrade the hard drive already, but yeah, it's getting a bit crowded. But I pre-ordered NBA 2K15. Last night, right? So at the time of this recording, NBA 2K14 has been out on this day as I'm recording, right? So I go ahead and I pre-order it, and I'm thinking, like, typically when I, you know, go ahead and pre-order a game or download a game, or like if I buy a game from my phone, that is going to be downloaded and it's going to be installed, it's going to be ready for me to play by the time I get home from work today, right? So when I got home, jumped in the shower, washed my ass, and I turn on the PlayStation, and I'm looking for the 2K15. 2K14 is up there though, like, because I've still been playing that. I'm in the playoffs right now, Eastern Conference Finals against the Miami Heat. I'm up 2-0, and I'm averaging a triple double. Your boy Span is all that on the game, right? So yeah, man, I'm still playing that, but I'm looking for the 2K15. Can't find it. I can't find it in my downloads. Can't find it in anything. So I go to the PlayStation store, try to figure out what the hell is going on. Go over to NBA 2K15 in the PlayStation store, and it's saying that I can't buy it because I already own it. What ended up happening was last night when I bought it on my system, I didn't press the download button. So yeah. And what I found out was, okay, like I downloaded it. Of course, I hit the download or whatever. And it goes through this whole download process or whatever. And it'll tell you that the download is complete. So I start the game up. And I'm excited because now you can put your face in the game. Like, I played in my career mode primarily. That's pretty much how I play the game now. I don't really, honestly, I haven't really played like a full-on game outside of the my career mode in quite a while. I don't think I played a full-on, like, just game. I didn't play that at all on 2K14, not once. So yeah, man, I'm excited about the put your face in the game. Like, finally my creative player is going to actually look like me and shit. That's what I was excited about. And I turn the game on and the motherfucker just like goes right into me playing Spurs and Miami Heat. Now I'm like, all right, cool, it's probably because the whole game hasn't downloaded yet. Like, it's giving me this opportunity to play this little piece of the game to the rest of the game downloads. I'm like, all right, cool. So I play that, and then it goes back to the title screen. It says press X to enter, and then it goes right back into that game. So I'm like, wait, something's wrong, you know. And I go back into the options and find out the damn thing only downloaded 6 gigs of 47 gigabytes for the game. So like, I'm pretty much got my PlayStation in standby mode. I won't be able to play this shit till tomorrow. Because I got to go to work, man. I can't be up all night waiting on that damn game to download and play up and all that shit. Got to go to work, man. So, yeah, man. It's happy 2K day to all y'all that got to play today. I will be amongst the legion of you tomorrow, man. yeah, man. But, yeah, that's pretty much it. That's what's going on with me, is, you know, all that shit is concerned. But, yeah, man, let's get into some of these topics. Let me get into some of these topics, man. And, of course, I want to talk about one thing that I saw on Facebook, and shout out to my boy Daz Hill, who had put this on his timeline, and I kind of, you know, shared it on my timeline, that this was like, this past Saturday was the first Saturday morning where Saturday morning cartoons weren't being played. And like, you know what, it was kind of funny because it was like, it hit me with like how old I really am. Like, I'm 34 years old. I never considered 34 to be old. Like, well, I kind of did. Like, when my mama hit 30, like, I was 10, and I was like, damn, mama, you old. But nah. But I'm 34 years old, and it's getting to a point, like, it's getting to a point where I'm at the age of when you, like, you hear your parents talk about this too. And I remember my mother saying this when I was younger, that you'll get to a point in your life, or you get old enough to start seeing some of the things that were cool when you were younger come back. And like, I remember going to buy my daughter some shoes. We went to Champs, Champs Foot Locker or whatever. And I started noticing that all of the shoes that I was wearing when I was like 12, 13, 14 are all back. Like, all of the old gym shoes that we used to wear. And you know, the Jordan line kind of kicked this shit off with the whole retro shit. Like, they bring back all the old Jordans, and now everybody is just pretty much bringing out the old shit. You got old Shaqs out there with the Shaq Gnosis shoes, which were ugly as hell, but they back. You got the Kamikazes. You got the Allen Iverson's first shoe, the Question. You got those joints out there. You got, you know, the Pump has come back. When was the last time you saw the fucking Pump? You know, you got a lot of old school Adidas, but like, Adidas is old school shoes, like the Top 10s and the Shell Toes. A lot of those, you know, classic type shoes have never really gone out of style, but a lot of those are, you know, kind of coming back. The Samoa, the Samoas and whatnot. So like, you got all these retro shoes up in the stores or whatever. And I'm like, that was one of the things that kind of like helped me along this whole thing of like, yeah, dog, you really are a little older now, you know, because the shit that was cool when you was young went out of style, and now the shit's back in style. So like, this whole thing of there being no Saturday morning cartoons, man, there being none. And it made me nostalgic as hell. You know what I'm saying? Like, I remember, you know, like, I remember growing up, man, me, my brother, and my cousin, we were kids, like on Fridays, like Fridays was like our kick it night. Like my mother was, she was kind of lenient with us in the sense that like, since we didn't have to go to school on Saturday, we could stay up all night, you know, we could stay up all night. And I remember the three of us used to sit up and either play like video games, play Monopoly, or sit up and wait for the Three Stooges to come on, because the Three Stooges wouldn't come on here till about 2-3 o'clock in the morning. So we would sit up, watch movies, watch the Three Stooges, and you know, play. Like I remember me and my cousin Art would sit up and play fucking Monopoly until 7 o'clock in the morning, go to sleep at 7 in the morning, wake up at about 3 o'clock in the afternoon, and go outside and play with everybody else at about 4 o'clock in the afternoon. That's how that's how like our schedule was on the weekends and like in the summertime and shit, unless we had like some chores or whatever to do. But yeah, man, like I was thinking, man, like when I saw that story, man, it made me think about all of those cartoons that I used to watch, man. Like, well, shit, fuck it, I'll take y'all back down memory lane. Here go a few of the cartoons that I was like really deep into back in the day. Yeah, man. That was a trip down memory lane for your boy, man. And I'm pretty sure it's probably a trip down memory lane for quite a few of you guys as well, man. It's end of an era. It's an end of an era. I'm not gonna lie, man. I'm a little sad about it. I'm a little sad, man. But that, you know, kids don't do that anymore. They don't wake up and, you know, on Saturday mornings looking forward to the cartoon block. I remember, you know, we used to have like the cartoons early in the morning on our way to school, and then we'd have the cartoon block on, you know, after school. Like, I remember Batman the Animated Series was probably my favorite. That and Animaniacs. I know the Animaniacs were in that clip. They used to come on Saturday mornings as well, but I know here in Detroit they used to come on like with Looney Tunes and Tiny Toon Adventures and you know, Darkwing Duck and yeah, man, those were, you know, shit, man, that was part of my childhood, man. The shit's gone. Shit's gone. And I know that, like, the kids, they have so many different ways, man, to access the content now, man. You got iPads, you got tablets, you got cell phones, you got Netflix, you got Hulu, you got YouTube, you got all of these services, man, that pretty much bring everything to you on demand. So they don't have to sit around and wait for these things to come on, man. They can pretty much watch them whenever the hell they feel like it. And they really don't know how good they have it, you know, to, you know, say the least, man. And you know, your parents used to say that shit about us. That's how you know you getting old, when you start saying shit like, these kids don't know what the hell they got. Yeah, man. But what y'all didn't know, was that that was part of the $100 span challenge. Yeah. I'm gonna make this the $100 span challenge. Now, if you weren't paying attention, you notice that there were two songs on there. There were two intro songs on there that didn't have lyrics on them, all right? They didn't say what they were associated with. They didn't say what cartoon they came from. So what I want you to do, the last two songs that I played of the cartoon themes, the last two, if you can identify those two correctly, and you're the first person to hit me up at the hotline at area code 313-288-0485. If you're the first person to contact me and leave that voicemail with the correct answer, you win $100. You win $100. Now, you know, I'm feeling, how should I say, giving right now, man. So yeah, man, if you can identify those two songs, if you can identify the cartoons correctly, you win $100. So yeah, man, take advantage of this. Take advantage of this opportunity to win $100, man, right here on the Span Report. And yeah, the last couple times I did that, man, folks didn't get the last two. I think it was either one. I think She'd Be Showing Up got one of them, but then there was another one where I put down and nobody got it. So yeah, man, this should be something that you should be able to get. Hopefully one of you guys will get it and you'll be $100 heavier in the pocket, man. Yeah, but outside of that, I want to talk about something else. I'm through about being nostalgic and all this other shit. Your boy Span old, everybody know that, right? No, man, but and of course, I follow things that are going on in social media and pop culture somewhat. And of course, I got wind of news that Raven Simone, you know, folks are a little upset with Raven right now, in the sense that she doesn't want to be called an African-American. Now, I don't want to misquote Miss Raven Simone. So what I did was I grabbed that clip. And I'm going to let Raven Simone tell you how she feels about being African-American. Just, yeah. Right here on the other side.
The tweet was, "I can finally get married. Yay, government. So proud of you." Wow. That was August 2nd, 2013. So was that your way of coming out? Was of saying you were gay?
That was my way of saying I'm proud of the country. But yeah, I will say that I'm in an amazing, happy relationship with my partner, a woman. Mm-hmm. And on the other side, my mother and people in my family, they've taught me to keep my personal life to myself as much as possible. Mm-hmm.
I think
so
that's smart.
I try my best to, you know, hold the fence where I can, but I am proud to be who I am. Mm-hmm. And what I am.
So when did you know who you were and what you were?
In that topic of dating and in love, I knew when I was like 12, I was looking at everything.
Were you looking at boys and girls?
Yes, ma'am.
Did you have a word for it? Because I think when you're younger, you don't even have language for what it is.
I don't need language. I don't need a categorizing statement for it. I think that's one thing that kind
of... So you don't want to be labeled gay?
I don't want to be labeled gay. I want to be labeled a human who loves humans. I'm tired of being labeled. I'm an American. Mm-hmm. I'm not an African American. I'm an American.
Oh, girl, don't set up the Twitter on fire. Oh,
I'm sorry. I mean,
what?
I'm sorry.
Oh, my Lord. What did you just say? Stop the tape right now. Okay.
I will say this.
What?
I mean, I don't know where my roots go to. Mm-hmm. I don't know how far back they go. I can't go on, you know, I don't know how far back, and I don't know what country in Africa I'm from. But I do know that my roots are in Louisiana. Mm-hmm. I'm an American, and that's a colorless person. Because we're all people. I have lots of things running through my veins.
I mean, you're going to get a lot of flack for saying you're not African-American. You know that, right?
I don't label myself.
Okay. So I want you to say what you really mean by that.
What I really mean by that is I'm an American. That's what I really mean. I have darker skin. I have a nice, interesting grade of hair. I connect with Caucasian. I connect with Asian. I connect with Black. I connect with Indian. I connect with each culture.
You are a melting pot in one body.
Aren't we all?
Yes.
Isn't that what America's supposed to be?
Yeah, that's what it's supposed to be.
That's what
sure.
It's supposed to be. I personally feel that way.
All right. Yeah, man. Yeah. And like I said, I didn't want to misquote Raven. So I wanted to basically put out exactly what it is she said, because I know a lot of folks, you see a headline, man, you kind of run with it, you're upset about it, you don't necessarily read the articles all the time. I've been guilty of doing that shit. Sometimes I'm like, let me read this shit before I make myself look stupid. You know what I'm saying? So I really did want to, you know, once I seen what everybody was talking about, I kind of wanted to hear what it is exactly that she said. And yeah, it was interesting, to say the least. It was a very interesting conversation. Here's the thing for me, though. Like, I don't necessarily care what Raven decides to call herself. It doesn't really make me much of a difference, honestly, what Raven decides to call herself. And honestly, I kind of feel as if a lot of you shouldn't necessarily care what Raven decides to call herself. Just like I might not necessarily need to care what you call yourself, and you might not necessarily need to call care as much in this way only because follow me here. I mean, I'm kind of scatterbraining it right now, but follow me real quick. You know, like, everyone has their own self-identity, their own self image, and how they see themselves and how they think they portray themselves to the world. Everyone has this idea of how they come across, you know, when they portray, you know, when they put themselves out in the world. And, you know, I consider myself a pretty nice guy, right? I consider myself a pretty nice guy. You know, I go to work every day. You know, I play video games. You know, I do this podcast. You know, I watch movies and everything else. I consider myself a pretty nice guy, right? But I also know some things about myself. I know that I'm very fucking cranky in the morning. Like, I am not the nicest person in the world in the morning, and it wears on my face. Like, I look mad, and plenty of people have told me this. Like, I look like I'm pissed off all the time. So the image that I'm portraying to the world, no matter how much I feel like I'm a nice guy, the world sees me and they look, damn, that dude mad. Like, what's wrong with him? And I've had that. Like, you know, I'm sitting up watching TV and, you know, my daughter asked me, daddy, what's wrong? Or my girlfriend asked me, baby, what's wrong? You know, like, people will ask me that, what's wrong? And I'm like, shit, nothing. I'm chilling, watching TV. You know, so my self image is that I'm a pretty nice dude, but everyone else can look at me, and especially if you don't know me, you'll look at me and be like, damn, that's a mad motherfucker. Like, something wrong with that dude, right? And I'm kind of like that at work too. Like, while I'm working and I'm busy and I'm like kind of focused on what it is that I'm doing, sometimes a customer or just a random person on the street will walk up to me and be like, hey man, what it is that y'all doing? And without even thinking about it, like, I've heard, like, people will come to me and say, like, dog, you look like I was bothering you. Like, and honestly, sometimes they are, but but honestly, like, that's not what I want to get across when I'm trying to explain something to a customer, or people have legitimate questions about what it is that we're doing out there, you know. But again, I think of myself in one way, the world thinks of me in a totally different they have a totally different perception of me. All right. So when I think about Raven Simone, you know, she says she doesn't want to be labeled as gay, even though she's in a relationship with a woman. She says she also, you know, maybe interested in men. Who knows? I mean, like, but she doesn't want the label. And the thing about it that was really interesting to me was, you know, the fact that she said that she was proud of who she is and she's proud of what she is. But she didn't want to put a name to it. And that's the thing, you know, like the only name that she wanted to claim was being American. She didn't want to be African-American. She didn't want to be gay. Now, again, these are all things that are well within your rights to do. But the world is going to do what the world is going to do. All right. So even though Raven Simone may not want to see herself as a gay person, somebody else will look at that and say, well, you're in a relationship with the woman, and they will automatically just identify her as a gay person. No matter what she feels about it, that's what they're going to do. If she doesn't want to necessarily say that I'm a African-American, people are going to identify her as African-American, even though she may have Caucasian and Asian and all of these other things, you know, mixed within her bloodline and everything else. You know, people are going to identify her in a certain way, whether she likes it or not. That's just the way of the world. So what she calls herself, something, you know, to me, honestly, isn't necessarily important, honestly, to me anyway, right? Only because, like, it has another thing too. And I alluded to this when I was talking about like Wiz Khalifa and Amber Rose and the things that Beyonce and Jay-Z do. Like, and I was talking about like our obsession over what these people do, you know, these celebrities, like how the things that they do that everyday people do all the time, the things that they do that everyday people do all the time is blown up and is magnified. Every one of you have done things, or you may have an idea that isn't necessarily a popular one, but you hold true to it because that's how you believe. And you know, that helps you get through your day. This helps Raven get through whatever it is that she's dealing with, or however she wants to navigate through her life. So who am I to say you're not allowed to do that? I can't do that. You aren't allowed. Like, who am I to tell you that you aren't allowed to do that? You aren't allowed to identify yourself. You aren't allowed to, have your own image and, you know, believe in the image that you have of yourself. I can't do that to you. And I would look at you fucking sideways if you tried to do that to me, to tell me that, hey, Span, you're not a nice guy. I look at you like, motherfucker, what? No, man, but it's just one of those things. But here's another thing too, man. Here's another thing too. You know, everybody got up into their feelings about, you know, Raven not wanting necessarily be labeled as an African American or what have you. And again, like I said before, the world is going to identify you whether you necessarily want it to or not. And, you know, sometimes the world, especially when you live in a, like in a place that, let's be honest, there's a white supremacy, like, kind of, you know, construct here. Let's not fool ourselves. Sometimes the world has a way of reminding you exactly of who you are. You know, we saw that with O.J. Simpson. O.J. Simpson at one point in time in the world was seen as a pretty non-threatening black guy. He's very non-threatening. He was I believe he was one of the first major athletes to, you know, get endorsement deals to sell you shit. Like, he was the Hertz rent-a-car man and all these, he was doing all these commercials running through airports and all of this stuff. OJ was doing color commentary. He was a sideline reporter. I believe it was for NBC at one point in time. And then the whole murders happened with Ron Goldman and Nicole Brown Simpson. And we saw how the non-threatening OJ became the black man OJ, the darker skin on Time Magazine menacing OJ. We saw how the country was divided when OJ was acquitted, and the black folks were happy that OJ had gotten over, and the white folks were pissed off, like, how the fuck they let this nigga go? You know what I'm saying? And even now, like, you look at how OJ Simpson's life had, like, the trajectory of his life had changed after that incident. You know, where white folks was like pissed, like they wasn't letting him have shit, like to the point where, you know, you end up going to jail for going to get your own shit back. You know, and maybe the way he went about going to do that was the wrong way to do it, But the fact that, you know, he's in jail for what he's in jail for now, you know, it kind of, you know, to me, and it's just to me that it kind of do it, even though they're totally unrelated, it kind of lends me to the whole thing of, well, we didn't get you for this shit, but we for damn sure gonna get you for this. So, you know, you look at OJ Simpson, who might not necessarily, you know, might not have necessarily seen himself as a black person much, you know, anymore. He didn't really identify with the black community as much anymore when he was at the pinnacle of his success. He didn't really identify as much with the black community, so to speak. You look at Tiger Woods. Tiger Woods back in the 90s, man, Tiger Woods was, you know, he was a child prodigy. He was, you know, one of the youngest people to win the Masters, man. When he came out, he was like, he was the dude. Like, and he garnered so much interest in the sport of golf amongst the black community because there was somebody who looked like us. I remember Vijay Singh. I used to think he was black. I didn't know he was like, he was Indian, I believe. But I remember I used to think Vijay Singh was like black or whatever. But no, but Tiger Woods, though. Like, he garnered so much interest in the sport of golf amongst the, you know, the African American community, and you know, we wanted to, you know, we wanted to prop him up, we wanted to latch on to him, we wanted to say, hey, one of ours can do this too. I remember Steve, who was that? Cedric the Entertainer actually did a bit about, you know, Tiger Woods got, you know, black folks going to the golf courses and and Timberlands, and they barbecuing and shit on the golf course and whatnot, and it was a lily white sport, and here you got this black dude out here dominating the shit, right? And so, you know, for Tiger Woods to come out and say, well, you know what, hold up, I'm not just black, I'm Caucasian, I got, you know, white in me, I've got Asian in me. If you look at his mom, like, his mom is, you know, she's not a black woman, and yeah, all of that shit. But yeah, the man is trying to identify, he's not trying to exclude the heritages that are running within him, within his family. All right, who are we to say that, hey man, that's you can't do that, you know? But when it came time to when Tiger Woods got caught fucking around on his wife, he became a black person for he became a black person for white America. You know, like, you think about, you know, the fact that his wife beat him with a golf club, and that's what caused his car accident, and that's what caused, you know, like, the trajectory of his career to, again, you know, totally go off the course that it was on at that particular moment in time. And he hasn't been the same since then. He's had to give up an immense amount of money since then, and nobody says anything about, you know, the you know, nobody, you know, like, vilifies his wife in any sort of way, you know what I'm saying, because he shouldn't have done that to her. There's a white privilege there. He shouldn't have done that to her. Had that been a sister, it might not have been that much of a deal. People would have probably, well, I take that back. People would have tried to, I don't know, maybe minimize what it was that he did. You know, people look at Tiger Woods with her and it was like he deserved it. It might have been something different, and I'm totally going off speculation right now, but it might have been something different had he been married to a black woman. But, and I remember people were like mad that he married this white woman, like sisters was mad that he married this white woman, not understanding that this is what this dude has been around all his life. But be that as it may, when Tiger Woods was in the trouble and his career was like falling apart, that's when Tiger Woods was reminded of who he was in America. That's when he was reminded of who he was. Sometimes it takes for us to, you know, for some of us who have gained a level of success. And Raven Simone is another person who has gained. She has been like in front of a TV since she was like 3 or 4 years old, man. So all she's known is this business. All she's known is, you know, she has a level of success. She has a level of wealth and talent to where, like, you know, honestly, you can kind of create your own reality. You know, you get to a point where you're so successful, man, and you live this way for so long that this is your life, and you're able to create your own reality until something, you know, hits it and like the trajectory of that life changes. I'm not wishing that on Raven Simone. I think that what happens is when it comes to, say, like, for instance, a Raven Simone or Tiger Woods or OJ Simpson or what have you, is that because black folks want to prop these folks up so much that it hurts black folks when they kind of like push away. Like, I don't want to necessarily identify with that. And it might not necessarily be, I don't want to identify with those people. I'm better than those people. I don't want to associate within the negative connotations of those people. It might not necessarily even be that. It's the simple fact that they want, they want acceptance from the world. Black people want acceptance from the world, but black people also want those who have attained success to claim blackness. And if you don't want to claim blackness, then it's a rejection of black folks. And black people are hurt when shit like that happens, unfortunately. You know, black people, we're looking for people to kind of, I guess, point to as examples of black excellence, so to speak, you know, where you could tell your child, like, look, this person did it and he looked just like you. You can do that shit too. You know, and so I kind of get it. And I remember I even talked about this on the podcast once before. And this was years ago. I remember when my daughter was like, she had to be like 4 or 5. And it was like Halloween time and shit. And I remember I was going to get my daughter. We were talking about getting, a Halloween costume or whatever. And I remember my daughter said she wanted to be Hannah Montana for Halloween. And it struck me like, yo, man, my baby don't want to be no black person. I was like, yo, how about you be Raven? And she was like, nah. My baby said she didn't want to be Raven because Raven was fat. But it wasn't registering to my daughter at that particular moment in time that, yo, you know, the whole racial construct of it. I'm injecting that into my daughter. And I was like, I felt bad about the shit later on. Like, man, my baby ain't even thinking about that shit. But yeah, man, like for Raven to say that, you know, she doesn't consider herself African-American, she's more than welcome to do that. There was a part where she said that she didn't know where her roots are. And I'm pretty sure that quite a few of us don't know exactly what part of Africa that our roots are. But, you know, she does have means. If she really wanted to find out, it's not as if she couldn't, you know. But who am I? Again, who am I and who are we to tell her that she can't identify herself in the way that she wants to identify herself? The same way that I would identify myself as a nice guy might not necessarily be the way that the world identifies me. So, you know, I say all that to say this again. Why do we give a fuck? Why do we care? Yeah, man. So, yeah, man, that whole conversation, man, honestly, that whole conversation kind of reminded me of some shit that I saw back in the day, man. It was this old movie called Fear of a Black Cat. Rusty Cundiff wrote and directed this movie, man. It was I used to sit up and watch this shit all the time when I was younger. And yeah, man, that whole conversation reminded me of this. So check this out. And after this, I'm going to go on a real quick musical break. So I'll see you guys on the other side of this. Check it out.
So now your new group.
The New Human Humanities.
Yes. What does that mean?
Well, it's a new way of looking at the human form. See, you might not notice, but I'm not black.
You're not?
It took me a long time to realize that, but I'm not black or colored or Negro or African American or Marini or High Yellow or Creole. None of those labels that society places on us. You see, I don't see color. You know, I look at people and everybody seems to be the same shade.
You sure it's not the glasses?
I'm just a human being.
Talking about, cause we're all one race on this planet. We all burp and fart, and that's the way God planned it. So don't act like you're superior. Eat something bad, and just like me, you'll get diarrhea. Cause black, white, yellow, red, brown, or gold, our shit all comes from the same little hole.
You are just like me.
I'm just a human.
I am just like you.
I'm just a human.
We all stand.
Yeah, man. So I'm gonna put that video on this episode of thespareport.com, and so when you go to thespareport.com, you can check that video out for yourself. But yeah, man, just listening to Raven talk about her aversion to the labels and everything else, I don't know why that shit clicked and it just hit me like that, but it reminded me of that, man. But I'm about to take this real quick musical break, and when I get back, I got some listener feedback to get to. And yeah, we're gonna wrap up the show, so stick around.
It's been a long day, and I can't wait to see your face smiling back at me. 'Cause the moment I see you and you hold me in your arms, whatever was wrong doesn't even matter at all.
When there's so much on my mind,
so much,
I know you can make it right.
Yeah.
'Cause it happens every time.
Oh, with you.
Every time, well, now with you, all I gotta say is, hey, hey, baby, baby, I got your loving. Hey, 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 to you, and you can have it all.
That was Mila featuring Music Soul Child with Give It To You. That's a single. I don't know exactly what album or if there's an album associated with that, but check that out if and when you get a chance, or just hit the motherfucking repeat button or rewind a little bit and listen to it over and over again if you like it. Right here on the Spare Report, man. But yeah, it's feedback time, man. I've got one email. I got one email this week, and it came from a brother named Adrian. And Adrian writes in to say, what up, though? Mr. Spam, my boy Lamont put me onto this podcast, and I gotta say, I'm glad he did. Been listening for about 2 months now, and I was surprised to learn that you were based right here in the D. West Side, 6 Mile all day, my nigga. All right. You're a little enthusiastic there, ain't you, brother? Oh man. Let's see. But enough of that. I just wanted to know what you think about all of the liquor stores and Coney Islands in the hood all being owned by Arabs. And why when you do see black people working for them, it's always something like cleaning up or working the register at Coney. I hate seeing that shit, bro. What about you? All right. Thank you for writing in, Adrian. I really appreciate that. It took time to do it. You know what, man? You know, this is something that, like, as being a Detroit resident, man, you hear this all the time, man. You know, a lot of folks are upset about, you know, the liquor stores and the Coney Islands. Or for those of you who aren't from Detroit, man, Coney Islands are like they're restaurants. They're like where you go to get your hot dogs and your hamburgers and your chick, you know, your wing dings and your chili cheese fries. I don't know if everybody does that around the country, but yeah, you go there. It's like quick food, you know, quick cheap food, right? So yeah, man, a lot of times when you go to a Coney Island, you'll see a sister working the register, or you know, if you go to the liquor store, sometimes you'll see somebody cleaning up outside, or they might be working the lottery machine or whatever. Here's the thing though, and this is something that I want people to think about. And unless, you know, some of us who get upset about this, unless we are in a position to give these people, the sisters who are working the cash register at Coney Islands, or the brother who's cleaning up at the liquor store around the store, whatever, making sure everything's cleaned up or whatnot, unless we're in a position to give them people an opportunity to do something different, I can't necessarily, I honestly can't fix myself to kind of bitch about this. I can't, you know. And you know, it's not to say that, you know, I don't wish that there were more people in the community that were from the community actually having business in the community and keeping that money within the community. I can't say that I don't want that to happen. But at the end of the day, if these are the only opportunities that these people can find, who am I to say that, you know, they shouldn't be doing these jobs? You know, I would much rather they be working cleaning up or working a cash register at a Coney Island than knocking somebody's head off or robbing somebody or raping or doing whatever, man, or turning tricks or whatever. I would much rather they be doing it in a legitimate way than, the alternative, which could be, it doesn't necessarily always have to go back into the worst of us, but to give them an opportunity to do something and maybe put themselves in a position to get something better when the opportunity comes along. Now, mind you, I've worked at an establishment that was owned by an Arab family. And you know what? I cleaned up. Yeah. Your boy Span cleaned up. And it wasn't the greatest experience in the world. But at the same time, I understood that was a stepping stone for me to get to something better. And hopefully the people, you know, some of our people who are working there understand that it could be a stepping stone to go do something different until you can get to something better. As far as like what I feel about, you know, the like all being owned by Arabs, man, understand this, man. All people want to advance in the world, you know, including Arabs. So like when you talk about, you know, their stores being in the hood and everything else, man, at the end of the day, those people have families that they're responsible for too. So they take advantage, they've taken advantage of some of the opportunities that were given to them. Now, are there opportunities that are given to them that are, you know, better than some of the opportunities that are given to us right here? That's debatable. I mean, I've heard so many different stories about how Arabs come into their money. You know, like a lot of folks, there's this thing about Arabs have, like, they don't have to pay taxes for 10 years and all sorts of stuff. I don't know how true those stories are. But at the end of the day, so long as they provide a service and it's good service, so long as they provide an opportunity and it's an opportunity that, you know, that wouldn't necessarily go to these people otherwise, I can't find issue. Now, I know I may catch some flack for that, you know, because I know it's like, especially here in Detroit, I know a lot of people are upset about, you know, really the thing is you're upset that people that don't look like you have businesses in the neighborhoods that you live in. The counter to that is to try to put yourself in a position to service your community. You know, like, I know we have some issues doing that. But the only way to really counter that is to try to put yourself in a position to offer some competition to these people. You know, we can sit up and bitch and moan all day long about, okay, well, the Arabs own all the liquor stores and the Arabs own all the Coney Islands and whatever, but and they own all the gas stations. But at the end of the day, we have to try to figure out a way to put ourselves into positions to where we can service our own communities in this way. I don't have the answer to that. I really don't. I wish that we didn't even necessarily have to have this discussion. But when it comes to like brothers and sisters working for Arabs or whatever, I've done it. It wasn't the best experience for me. I can't speak for anybody else. But I don't have issue with Arab people in general. No, not at all. Some of like the most peaceful people in the world, some of the like coolest people in the world. One of the guys I work with when I became a gas man who taught me the most was an Arab guy. His name's Sam. But yeah, man, like he taught me the most, man. Sam made sure that I knew what it was I needed to do in order to get qualified and stay in the job that I have right now. And I do pretty good right now. So I can't say I have issue. I can't make issue of this, but I do feel as if we're gonna be upset about this, what are we gonna do about it? How are we going to provide an opportunity for our people to do something different? How are we going to service our communities in a way that they need, in a way that's affordable, in a way that they respect it? And so until we figure that out, until we are able to like legitimately figure that out, man, unfortunately, you're gonna have to deal with that. You know, you're being upset, it's all right to be upset, but channel that being upset into something that can change what it is that you're upset about. And I hope I was able to like kind of answer your question, man. I know I was kind of all over the place, but I really do appreciate you writing in, Adrian, and listening to the Sparing Poor brother. I appreciate you listening. Thank you so much, man. But yeah, it's time to get out of here, man. But let me tell you guys how you can get in touch with me here at the Sparing Report, man. Let your voice be heard. Of course, you can hit me up at the hotline at area code 313-288-0485. That's area code 313-288-0485. Leave me those voicemail messages. There's a $100 spam challenge up and available for you right now, so you might want to go ahead and make sure you save that number. Also, you can hit me up at the hotline at area code. I'm sorry, not the hotline. Damn. This damn jack is getting to me. You can hit me up at the email at thespanpodcast@gmail.com. That's thespanpodcast, all one word, @gmail.com. Leave me the emails just like my man Adrian just did, and I'll read those on the show and, of course, respond to those here on the show. You can also hit me up on Twitter and Instagram. My name on both platforms is Mr_Span. And, of course, for everything Span Report related, hit me up at thespanreport.com. Go listen to all the episodes of the podcast. Go listen to all of the Span TV videos that I have available there, man. Any guest appearances that I've made on other shows are also available on thespanreport.com. So go ahead, check that out. And, of course, man, leave a review. Leave a review on Stitcher and iTunes, man. Let the people know what you think about the Span Report, good, bad, or indifferent. Let the people know what it is that you think about the Span Report podcast, man. I really do appreciate everybody listening to me. But I got to get out of here, man. I'm figure out if this damn 2K15 is up and running so I can try to scan my face and get on my career mode, man. Yeah, man. But I really do hope to hear and talk to you guys again soon. And I can't wait to do this again. So until next time, fam. Peace. Girl, just one look. And you're someone in blue, as that's only took for me. Me shook. Please don't take this the wrong way, but you should fuck with me. And I just want you closer. Every single time you be looking at me that way. And I just can't get over. It's written in the clouds. Then my sky falls the moment that I saw you standing there. When time grows the color in a field of gray.
just want you my side. Every single time you're looking at me that way, and I just can't get over. It's written in the clouds, on your face. Then my sky falls the moment that I saw you. I never let you go, let you.